Our New Testament reading this evening is from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. And we'll be looking at the entirety of the chapter, Luke chapter 19. Give ear unto the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful with a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down. And reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and to Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them which sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. One of the themes we have in Luke and in the other Gospels is on display here. It's the scandal, it's the great scandal that Christ receives sinners freely. That he is not standoffish, even with sinners. Zacchaeus finds this out. Zacchaeus was known to be a sinful man. It's in the text. He's known to be a sinner. He's known to be a greedy man, someone who extorts. And Christ is not hesitant. He's not standoffish to say, Down, Zacchaeus, I must today abide with thee at thy house. And it's a scandal. The others, they look upon this and they say, Who is this that eats and dines with sinners, that is a guest at the house of a sinner? They have zero understanding of the mercy of the Lord. Zacchaeus begins to understand it right away. When the Lord calls to him, right away Zacchaeus begins to see, this is no ordinary man. This is no common man. This is a gracious man, a man full of mercy. He's a great rabbi. He's done these mighty works. He's taught these astonishing things. And now he's singled me out. He said he must abide at my house. And so it begins to change Zacchaeus. It begins to cause him to think over his sins, his faults, his transgressions. And so Zacchaeus is changed by the Lord's kindness. Zacchaeus repents quite spectacularly. He repents and he vows to repay and to give of his goods, showing he's been thoroughly converted. In fact, Christ says today, salvation has come into his household. I tell you, this is as much a son of Abraham. I see that he is a son of Abraham, a true son. And so Zacchaeus, he realizes it, but the others don't. They say, Who is this? Who is this teacher? Who is this person that goes into the house of sinners? They don't see their own need. They don't see their own sin. In fact, they see themselves as clean. They see themselves as not needing the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what does Christ say? He says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If that's not you, if you're not aware that you are lost, the Son of Man did not come to seek and to save. No, it's the lost. It's those that are not well that desire the physician. Well, this encounter speaks to us about coming to knowledge of Christ, about Zacchaeus. He comes to knowledge of Christ. The parable that follows speaks to us about Christian living, because it's the parable of the king, the stewardship. Some call it the parable of the talents, where the king gives unto these servants all of these amounts of money, and there's a reckoning is a reckoning. So what do we learn in this parable? We learn that the affairs of Christ's kingdom, they're not trivial things. They're in fact to be cared for and looked after even more than any other things in this world. Any affairs or business in this world, we are to look to the things of God's kingdom, of Christ's kingdom. That's the main point. The Lord is, he's saying that he is as this king, one who would expect great care, great diligence to be applied in the pursuit of spiritual things, in the pursuit of living for the Lord and following Christ in good works. He expects great care in these things. And there's a caution here, there's a warning here. What about the ones who say, we will not have this man rule over us? This is anyone who says, I don't need the law of the Lord. I don't need Christ's commandments. I don't need to live by Christ's commandments. And yet they think that they can have Christ as their Savior. They're mistaken. Yet they think that they can be exempt from Christ's kingdom, from his authority. None are exempt from Christ's authority. And the servants in this parable, they find that out, as will all who oppose the Lord Jesus Christ, all who neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll find out they're not exempt. None can be exempt from the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not say to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not have him to rule over us. He will rule over us. And he will rule over all until all has been placed under his feet. We learn about this in the parable. We learn about Christian life in the parable. Well, next, the Lord weeps over the city. He weeps over the city. After coming in on the colt, after appearing on the donkey, the colt signifying and showing that he is the king, the true king, coming in peace to receive his kingdom. The people rejoice, and then Christ weeps over the city. He says, if thou hadst known, even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. These are real tears. He laments over the city. He knows the city, by and large, we're talking the great majority, he knows the city will be shouting to crucify him and rejecting him. And he knows what's coming. He knows the consequence. He knows that it will be a disaster unlike the city had ever seen or ever will see. He knows the disaster is on the way, and so he weeps. These are real tears. What does this instruct us? How does this instruct us about the Lord Jesus Christ? It tells us about his free and his promiscuous, you could call it, and his well-meant offers of forgiveness and salvation, even to the wicked. They are real. These offers, these pleas, these invitations, we know they're real because he weeps these real tears over these reprobate sinners. Christ has compassion even on reprobate sinners. It's real. It's genuine. We hear more about this when he's speaking to his disciples, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Christ is sending rain, his tears, right now, on the unjust. There's a bit of a mystery here, isn't there? Because we know the Lord is not double-minded. The Lord is single in his purpose. His purpose is for the glory of God. There's no conflict raging in his mind. We know that's true. Yet his grief, his tears, his lament, they're all real. They're all genuine. So it's a bit of a mystery, but we need not seek to delve into it too deeply, do we? Deuteronomy 29:29. secret things belong to the Lord. But what has been revealed are ours and our children's and our generations. What's been revealed is ours. But the secret things belong to the Lord. And so we must leave it there. We must say that his grief is considerable. His grief is real. Yet there's no conflict raging inside. There's no double-mindedness. It's real grief, even over those that are reprobate sinners that will be consigned to destruction. Well, finally, in this passage, we have Christ clearing the temple. Seems to be a second time that he's cleansing the temple in Jerusalem, saying then once again, "My Father's house, my house in Jerusalem, it's meant to be a house of prayer, not to be a den of thieves, not to be a place of commerce, not to be a place where people were seeking earthly gain." And there's a lesson for the church there as well. What is the household of God? Primarily, what is the household of God? It's to glorify God. And then as we are part of the household of God, it's to be a place of prayer, a place for the Lord's glory, not a place for us to seek advantage, not a place for us to seek social advantage, a place for us to seek some sort of earthly edge over anyone. Of course not. It's to be a house of prayer. And may the Lord bless his word to us. Would you join me as we go to the Lord now in prayer? Our gracious Father in heaven, as we look into thy word, we see light. And how we pray that thou would instruct us by this light, so that we would not continue on as those that are blind even in the light, but thou would open our eyes. And that we would know thy truth, and we would understand, and that we would joyfully receive all that thou hast taught. Father in heaven, we confess unto thee our slowness of heart, our dragging of feet, and how we resist. Even as thou hast clearly spoken, we still come with our hesitations and our reservations. And so we pray that thou would help and clear these away, so that we would be wholly submissive unto all that thou hast commanded. We want to be walking in conformity. We want to be as the good servant who knows thee, knows thy will, knows thy character, and acts accordingly. We do not want to be condemned by our own mouths, saying that we know thee, and yet living in a different way, living in a way that shows that we may not really know thee. And so we pray that thou would make us as the good stewards, the good servants, please. We pray that thou would forgive our sin. We pray that thou would wash us and bless us so that we could again enjoy that life with the Lord Jesus Christ. O God in heaven, as we praise thee, and then as we turn to the preaching, we pray that thou would be our teacher. We pray that thou would protect us against distraction, and that this evening that thou would certainly profit us greatly by thy word and bless thy church. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.